Continuing in on our series of our long-term series that we've been doing of biblical doctrine, and we are on lesson 10 of that. And we 2 weeks ago started into looking at what the Bible says about giving. We saw how we are to be stewards. We looked at how God is the giver of all things, and everything is His. That He owns the rivers and the lands and our bodies, and how everything we do should be for Him. And so we're going to look a little more tonight at some of the examples of God's giving. Not only does God own everything, as we have looked before, can you give me something on this? Thank you, Tanner. But Paul says that God gives to us richly, gives to us richly. You know, maybe y'all have that certain, you know, when you were growing up, that aunt that would always give, and so I'm not necessarily referencing you, Julie, I'm just saying. But that you have that aunt that gives you a gift, you know, and you know that it was like a toy your dog used to play with or something, you know. It was just nothing that they wanted around the house anymore, and so they gave it to you. But you know, it's the thought that counts. And I'm like, well, then you must not think very much, type of a thing. God, what He gives us, it says that He gives to us richly. He doesn't hold back anything. I believe it's the famous author and radio personality, and I can't think of his name right now. It just totally skipped my... The money guy, Dave Ramsey, there you go, thank you, that says, you know, oftentimes he'll respond that he's doing better than he deserves. How many here are doing better than they deserve, right? Just because we're a Christian, we're doing better than we deserve. Being that we are Christians in America, we are doing so much better than we deserve. And it's because God gives to us richly. But as we can tell, we look around and we see that also it's not just the Christians that the Lord gives to. As Scripture tells us, it rains on the just and on the unjust. And we are so blessed because the Lord could just immediately, with a snap of a finger, with the thought, all He would have to do is say, no more oxygen, and we'd all die. We'd just be dead. And that's why when we wake up in the morning, we should be thankful for what we've been given, that night's rest, the His mercies that are new every day, and understand how richly blessed we are. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 17, the second portion of that verse says, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Again, remember our comment we made this morning when Jesus was at the marriage feast at the Cana of Galilee, that it was Him sanctioning an event that makes it so that we walk higher and holier with our God. So don't misinterpret this verse that if you enjoy it, enjoy doing it, then God must have given it to me. That's not what it says. But He is richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. And so the things that He has given us are the things that we should enjoy. Just because you enjoy something doesn't mean that that's a gift from God. And there's times that we can talk ourselves into that. And I hope you understand what we're talking about there. James is very emphatic in what he says in James 1:17, the first portion of that verse. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. So not only now is it a good thing given, but it's every perfect gift. It's every complete gift. It's everything that it's just exactly what you needed. The Lord will not always come through with what you want. He will always come through with what you need. And that's where we have to realign our thinking so that it is what we need instead of what we want or what we desire. And so we're going to take a look this evening at a few things for starters here that he has given us that are things that hopefully we do want, but he knows that we need. The first one is his son. He has given us his son. God wrapped his most precious gift in the person of his son and sent him into the world, sent him into this world. I've been doing, I was thinking about it this morning, the song service. We sing the song, I think it was God of Wonders, and it talks about the universe. And that's one of the things, and I'm not trying to rip on the Marvel galaxy or whatever it is there, but at the same time, I think one of the things that they're starting to cause some confusion in our minds is they've now introduced something called the multiverse. Right? Right, Dylan? Right? Everybody knows about Spider-Man and the multiverse and all the other different multiverses. Right? Yeah, there you go. And so as we see that, it's important for us to understand what universe means. Did we hear that? Because universe means one spoken line. And in that, una, right? Do I need to break that down for you? Okay. Universe means one spoken line. And in that, God created everything. And by saying and giving us that thought that, well, things may be going wrong in this dimension, but it's way worse in another. This is the one and only life you have to live. And so we need to be reminded of that. And so as we say that, that's my kick for the night then, maybe. I'm just saying we need to do some thinking in what is being presented before us because sometimes, and I know most of the time I get, you're just overthinking it. Well, it's better than a lot of people that don't do any thinking on it at all. I'd rather be an overthinker than an underthinker. My wife would not, but I would rather be. Anyway, so he gave us his son. Jesus says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It is only in his son. It is only in Jesus, it is only through Jesus Christ that we have this gift that was wrapped up and given to all humanity for the salvation of the world. Does God know what we need? What he's trying to do, though, is make what we need also what we want. The entire world needs Jesus. But the problem is the whole world hasn't come to the conclusion that they want Jesus. They got to get there, that they want him. So wrapped up in that, in his son, is also eternal life. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Where do we find our eternal life? You know, at the end of the sermon this morning, we gave the plan of salvation. At the end of the message tonight, we're going to give the plan of salvation. What are we trying to accomplish through that? So that it makes us feel good to see somebody come out of the baptistry? No, it's about their eternal life. And if there is an eternal life available to us, then we also need to understand, and more often spoke about than eternal life in the Bible, is actually eternal death. And so it's pretty serious because it's not there just for a short time. It is there for eternity. The same word that if you believe you're going to be in heaven forever, it's the same word eternal used for eternal condemnation as it is eternal life. Same eternal word. Paul emphasizes that this is a free gift from God, that we cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. We may accept it humbly from God's hands. Now, with that said, then, as well, something that we need not to overlook is, has anyone here ever received a free gift? Right? Then what? What was the free gift you received, Xander? Think of one specifically. Socks. We know what kind of ants he has, right? No. Are we wearing socks tonight? Oh, okay. I didn't see them in there. All right. So, appreciative for those socks? Yeah, very much so. Right? Were they Bombas? Yeah, all right, even better, right? Because, you know, if you received a pair, then somebody else received a pair that needed a pair. See, that's how that works with Bombas. But anyway, they're also $40 a pair. But anyway, they better get free ones. But anyway, so you're appreciative for those socks. So how did those socks do anything for you? I mean, it was a free gift, right? Did you walk around? I got free socks. I got free socks. And that expressed the free socks? Did you have to do anything to get them on your feet, or did Shane put them on for you? You did? Okay, I was going to say, Xander, or maybe it was Jackson, but we know better than that. Right? So you had to put those on. But there was a free gift. If he wanted to use them, he had to do something? Is that just possible that it's the same way with our salvation? That it's given to us? It's free for the taking? But we have to take care of it. Could you wear those socks out? Yeah, possibly. Throw those socks away? Wouldn't do you any good then after that. But salvation is something that we can take in and have eternally. But does that make it any less of a gift? Right? Usually the one that gets the kids is, if I'm going to give you a car, right? You and Shane are always talking about how each one of your cars is better than the other one. They finally got Xander convinced he needed to change his blinker fluid, though. So he was doing good with that. Yeah, it is. See, George, he's a car man. He knows. He's telling you. And so you're given a car, and you, God forbid, have to put gas in it and take out a school loan just to pay for it, right? But the car was a free gift. The socks were a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. And if you want to keep it and keep it maintained, you've got to do things to take care of it. Change the oil, change the blinker fluid when necessary, right? Change, you have to put gas in there. You have to make it work. And that's the same way with eternal life. We may have been given the gift, but do you want to keep it? Do you want to hold on to it? Then it's up for us to be good stewards and maintain what the Lord has given us. And these things all kind of run hand in hand, but it's just what we're doing is standing here for one point. We're standing over here for another point. We're standing over here for another point. We're all looking at the same direction, just from a different perspective. And so the next one is that we see salvation from sin. Now we may say, oh, but we've already been given eternal life. Wouldn't that go without saying that we've received salvation from sin? Yeah, I think so. But what I want you to do is look at it from another perspective then as well. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. So now it went from being a free gift to now it's grace. You have been saved through what? Through your faith. So would we consider that to be a free gift if we're investing something. I mean, I think our faith is a pretty big thing, right? For without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? So that's a pretty big thing. That's like gas in your car. Does that change the fact that you have the free gift? No, but you need to maintain it. Again, we see that this is a gift from God. This is, of course, what was made possible through the death of Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. See, it's through the blood of Christ that our sins are washed away. We discussed that this morning. How can you get blood on a shirt? You usually think it's ruined. You get blood of Jesus Christ on your life and you're saved. The Lord also gives us wisdom. James says in James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I have to share a story. I cannot read this, and I know this isn't what it means, but so I'm with a preacher friend one day. We're in the hospital, and we come across this guy, and a denominational preacher, and it says there, what does it say if you lack wisdom, what you're supposed to do? Ask for it. Well, apparently the preacher friend that was with me thought that the guy that we were talking to wasn't going to ask for the wisdom himself. So he let him know how much wisdom he didn't have and told him, you know, let's pray for you and your lack of wisdom. I was like, boy, you got about as much tack as a doorknob there. But anyway, it seemed to be well received. The guy my preacher friend, pray with him. And go on. So either he didn't get it, but I was like, oh. You know, it's one thing because it says, if you lack wisdom, ask. But this is like me, you know, I'm like, you know, God, JB really lacks wisdom. I think you really need to give it to him. Give it to him, God. Right? And so is that how we're, I think that does away with the humility and the humbleness we're supposed to have of ourselves. It says, if any one of us lack wisdom, let us ask for it. Now we can encourage others, and I encourage that we each encourage each other to ask for the wisdom that we need. But it says that, how's he going to give that wisdom to us? Generously. A lot of times you see these shirts that say, live generously. Right? Nothing wrong with that. Great motto. But, you know, when you stop and think about it, maybe it's wisdom they're talking about. Maybe they need to stop and ask God for wisdom. That would be living generously, because he's going to give you more than you ask for. He's going to make it better than you deserve. We may ask God for many things, which in his wisdom, he may refuse to give. But James assures us that if we ask for wisdom, we will receive it. So do you ever want to make sure that you have 100% chance of getting your prayer answered in the way you want it to be? Then ask for wisdom. And it says, then the Lord will give to you generously. But I think a wisdom thing there goes along with our salvation, goes along with the Lord, goes along with our eternal life. You've got to seek that out. You just can't say, all right, Lord, hit me with wisdom. I just don't feel any wiser today. Well, the Lord has allowed for us to have his word, to have the mind of God at our fingertips so that we can gain the wisdom of God. And so many times we have the mind of God and we don't put it to use. We may ask for it. He's willing to give it to us, but are we willing to apply it. This is a gift from God, and we should seek it constantly. In addition to all of God's gifts, we know that Christ has also given much to us and for us. John 10:11 says that Christ has given his life for his sheep. Dylan had given me a quote a couple weeks ago, and I don't expect you to remember it right now. But I wish I could, because it was a good one. But it had to do with the sheep. Do you remember? Don't remember the shepherd asking the sheep for their opinion or something of that nature? If you think of it, raise your hand, and we'll come back to it. Right? If not, I'll try to get it for you next week. Nope, praise night, next Sunday night, singing, so 2 weeks, right? But anyway, it was a good one. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Just to make sure we're all on the same page there, we're not talking about money, right? We're not talking about wealth here when we talk about being rich. Being a Christian alone makes us the richest person on the face of the earth, as we have already discussed this evening. Christ gave up the riches and the glory of heaven that we might obtain those same riches. Truly, Paul is correct when he says in Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." What does that mean to you when you read that, when we're, especially in our talking about giving, when we see an offering and then we see a sacrifice? Do those mean the same things to you? Because they mean two totally different things. An offering is what has been requested of God to give, for us to give. A sacrifice is giving more than what he has asked for. And a sacrifice is giving more than we can spare. And I use a quote later on in this lesson from C.S. Lewis that says something very similar to that. But we want to give him props when we get there, so we'll save that for later. But it's giving more than you can spare. In other words, have you ever heard of the phrase, "give until it hurts"? Right? This is where we do find out right away sometimes that Christians have an inflammatory problem in their arms. Maybe we call it tennis elbow or something of that nature. Because when we have to go back and reach the back pocket, all of a sudden, oh, I can't move, right? That's why I always think our offering should be done standing up. You reach into the pocket of the guy in front of you and give like you've always wanted to give, right? That would make it easier. But an offering and a sacrifice. And Paul then takes it back to the Old Testament and he compares it to a fragrant aroma. And so that takes us back into the tabernacle. It takes us back into the time of where the prayers were offered up and the sacrifices were offered up. You know, you stop and think about it, the days of slaughter when they would kill those cows and they would kill the sheep. You ever notice you're driving down the road in the springtime or the summertime, maybe even the fall? You're driving down the road and you smell, well, somebody's got a barbecue going. Boy, that smells good. That's what that smell, that fresh aroma would smell like. Now I know people are like, oh, gross, meat. Well, then throw it this way, right? But that's what that fragrant aroma is. It's something that smells good to God. It's something that he appreciates. It's something that he desires because he also knows that offering and then that sacrifice, what it cost you to give. But you know what? Don't hold back. He never did. The poet has said it well. This is what Paul says in Acts 17:30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Are we willing to repent? Should we repent? We're going to continue here this evening looking at then not just what God gives, but what God has asked us to give in the Old Testament. Giving in the Old Testament started with individual giving and bringing a gift or an offering to God is a practice almost as old as the history of man. Abraham Lincoln, after Abraham Lincoln became president, before the days of civil service, office seekers besieged him everywhere trying to get appointments to various jobs throughout the country. Can you imagine that? Somebody trying to use a political person for their own gain? Once confined to bed with typhoid fever, exasperated, Lincoln declared to his secretary, "Bring in all those office seekers now. I now have something that I can give to everybody." Genesis 4 records the first act of giving, and this giving was done by the sons of Adam and Eve. We know it as the giving of Cain and Abel. The giving of Cain and Abel in Genesis does not say that God had commanded Cain and Abel to bring a sacrifice to him. However, later on in the book of Hebrews 11:4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." So if by faith Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice, that tells me, in my limited Bible knowledge, that God told him that. Why is that? Because it was said it was done by faith. Romans 10:17, can anybody quote that to me? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says by his faith, he heard something from God, and he acted upon it. This is what I have to take. The statement by faith apparently means that God had revealed this to them. Cain, being a farmer, brought some fruit of the ground in his offering. Abel brought one of the firstlings of his flock, since he was a shepherd. God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain's. Why Cain's offering was rejected is not known for sure, but it was evidently rejected because it was the wrong type of offering or something to that effect. Seemingly, God desired a blood sacrifice, which stands to reason. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they just took some leaves to try to cover up their sin, and God said, no, it's going to take a death, blood sacrifice. Something's going to have to give up its coat there, its skins, to cover up these people. Or perhaps it was even just an ungenerous gift. Just because we give doesn't mean it's what the Lord wants. This, of course, caused trouble between the two boys and led to the murder of Abel. However, we see in this incident that the early practice of bringing a gift to God in worship was taking place. Let's then look at Noah. When Noah came out of the ark following the flood, the first thing he did was to build an altar unto Jehovah and took of every clean beast and of every clean bird and offered this to God as his offering of thanksgiving and worship for his deliverance. He who gives what he would as readily throw away gives without generosity. For the essence of generosity is self-sacrifice. Are we starting to notice a theme on words here of sacrifice, of sacrifice, of sacrifice? And who is our ultimate sacrifice? Jesus. These were the only land-living animals left on earth. God was pleased with his offering and promised never to smite the earth with a flood. Did we stop? Now, we know that there were animals that they took more of on the ark for this occasion. But as we look, and this shows us Noah's faith, just as Abraham brought up that knife to slay his son, and we'll look at that here in just a moment, but Noah brings up that knife, and he's like, do you really, really want me to butcher these two unicorns? I mean, really? That would explain a lot, right? No, but as we see that, it was a sacrifice because they were the last ones left on earth. That's digging deep into the pocket. Then lastly, we'll look at Abraham, and then we'll close for this evening on this section. Abraham, by the time of Abraham, we find something new in the matter of giving. Abraham still offered animal sacrifices to God, but now in addition to this, he also gave tithes. Go and read Genesis 14, 18 through 20, as recorded Abraham's encounter with one Melchizedek. Abraham had rescued Lot after he had been captured by the four kings, and go and read that whole study there with Lot and Abraham. In the capture, Abraham had taken considerable spoils. As he returned, he met Melchizedek, king of Salem, who was the priest of the God Most High. And we're still working on a series for Melchizedek. It's just, there's a lot to try to make happen with that one, so we'll get there eventually. But probably the best thing to do would be to bring in a Kevin Yeager or a Rick Breidenbaugh for something like that anyway. But so as we're talking about Melchizedek, as the priest blessed Abraham, he in return gave him a tenth of all his goods. Again, it is not stated that God had commanded Abraham to do this, but in light of its later practice by Abraham's descendants, it is reasonable to conclude that God had given Abraham the teaching concerning the tithe. And what we need to understand about our giving is, if you give what you do not need, then it is not giving. And we're going to end on that this week. Our Father in heaven gave his Son, whom he needed, whom we needed. That's why it was the ultimate sacrifice that he has given for us. He's given us the chance to believe in who Jesus is. As John 8:24 tells us, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all perish." So we need to confess our need for Jesus Christ and him in our life. And then when we confess him as Lord, then he will confess us before his Father one day. That we need to be immersed. He who's believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who's been disbelieved shall be condemned. And then be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Are you outside of Jesus Christ tonight? You want to share the riches of God? It begins with taking Jesus as Lord and Master. Will you do that? We're going to sing our song of invitation. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Will you stand?